This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. Here with me in Studio 3 is Robin Abrams, the misconduct columnist for the Boston Globe magazine. Robin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Callie.
Now, you've been here so many times to talk about human behavior, from how to give and how to receive, how to talk about religion and politics, and now the recent mass shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, as you're here to talk about gun etiquette.
Well, that's talking about gun etiquette.
Right, exactly.
The etiquette of talking about guns.
I want to give other folks a chance to ask you a question if they'd like. We're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970, and we're here with Robin Abrams to talk about this kind of gun etiquette. What would you do if you attended a family gathering? This is what you wrote in your recent column, and noticed that your host and brother-in-law were carrying a loaded gun.
Yes, that is coming up on Sunday. That's a question that I got, and it just opened up the entire realm of talking about guns. And what's interesting, I think, about this moment is that there's a sense that maybe the terms of the discourse are changing in some way. Maybe the national consensus is changing. Maybe, I mean, look, for example, at the way smokers have gone from being the norm to becoming the group put on the defensive. Is a similar thing going to happen with gun owners? And suddenly, nobody quite knows what the rules are anymore. I mean, I think prior to, there had been more of a sense that you keep this in the public realm only and you don't talk about it necessarily privately. And perhaps you don't even know who in your neighborhood or family has guns. Now, all of a sudden, it's become public in a big way.
Well, we've been having an ongoing conversation about all kinds of gun violence, gun regulation, gun control, people's feelings on either side. And a couple of things come to mind as I thought about your gun etiquette perspective. A neighbor of Adam Lanza, who is the shooter in Newtown, Connecticut, said on camera, "I had no idea that were that many guns right down the street from me."
Yes.
"I just had no idea."
Right.
Now, she didn't say at the same time that distressed me. She just pausing, saying, "I think I'd like to know, but I'm not sure." So I guess one of the questions is there an obligation on the part of someone whom you may interact with, your neighbor, to alert you to the fact that they have a gun in the house?
I can't really think of a polite or non-threatening way to tell your neighbors that you have a small arsenal in your home, frankly. I mean, how does knock, knock, "Hi, here's some brownies. You know, we've got we have an arsenal over there." If people are coming to your home, I think in general, if it cannot, this is no longer something we should simply assume. Hmm. However, where I think the real crux of the matter is, it comes in, people are not yet clear, and this is what I think was very much going on in this letter. Are we making, is this a risk assessment, or is this a statement about morality? Is this like, "I'm sorry, I do not want to be in a home where there are guns. If you think that, you know, you want to live in this kind of world, then that's fine." Is that the issue, or is it more like, "Whoa, you have a cold and I just saw you double dip that chip. Get that out of here.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're a lovely person, but I can't afford to get sick." Is it risk or morality? And I think right now a lot of people aren't sure where they fall down on that scale. And certainly in the case of the people that were suddenly shocked, I would be shocked if I were at someone's home having at a party and realized, "My God, you're entertaining people and you're carrying a loaded gun." That tends to be outside my experience. That was obviously the case for the letter writer. And unfortunately, the presence of guns, and this is well known, tends to reduce people's ability to retain and process information. It's called weapon focus. If you get held up with a gun, you are not going to be able to describe anything about that holdup except the gun. And it appears to happen in other situations as well.
I'm speaking with Robin Abrams. She is misconduct columnist for the Boston Globe magazine. And we're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. If you would like to ask her a question about what we're well, we're defining gun etiquette.
What we talk about when we talk about guns. How's that?
Right. Because, you know, Robin, the reason I said how we're defining it is because I went on the web just to see if you put gun etiquette, what would come up.
I would actually consider that like basic firearm safety and
exactly.
how you conduct
and
yourself.
Exactly.
And that's why
up.
I'm saying, you know, this is the etiquette of gun discourse.
Right.
Not the etiquette of gun practice.
Right. I just want to make that clear that there were chapter and verse about how to handle a loaded gun, what's the proper way to store it, blah, blah, blah.
Yes. Are bullets an appropriate hostess gift?
Exactly. Which brings me to the question, just simply asking the question, it seems to me, of someone, of your neighbor or your friend, do you have a gun in the house, leads to other questions. You know, doesn't it lead to how are you storing it?
Right.
Where is it?
And
how
frankly,
many?
It is not for me to say where other people need to draw their moral or risk tolerance boundaries. Personally, I think there's no need to do that. Unless there's a child involved. If I'm going to leave my child at a house, I definitely want to know, my hypothetical non-existent child whom I love very much. If it's simply a matter of me, if I'm going to be in your house, I trust you. I mean, the fact is, as I pointed out to this letter writer, this was a New Year's Eve party in New Hampshire. You were probably in much greater danger driving there and back. You were certainly in greater danger driving there and back than you were at this party, assuming that the man is a responsible person.
And we should note that in New Hampshire, as is until recently was the law, legislators could bring loaded weaponry onto the floor of the legislature.
All right,
So, I mean, it is the live free or die state.
Yeah.
That has just recently
been
changed.
But here, apparently here in Boston, I just discovered that a fist fight broke out at a baby shower in Brockton and led to a 200-person brawl.
With guns, you're saying?
No, there were no guns involved,
and this
is what I'm saying, is, you know, you just, baby showers, weddings, these things can, you know, you never know.
Yes.
What can just get ugly.
So, how would you broach it? Because when I ask all the other questions that seem to come from the original one, which is, you know, so you say, do you have a gun in the house? And then it seems to me that the follow-up questions are just as important. Is that nosy? I mean, or is that... I don't know where you draw the line in being intrusive.
If you have children and you're leaving your children in a home, you have the right to know, you know, to ask whatever you need to feel comfortable. And if that doesn't, if you're not comfortable with that, then, you know, have the other kid over to your house or what have you.
Okay, so
I really do think that if we're talking risk assessment, if you're talking that you are just an anti-gun person, you want to end this gun culture, that's one thing. That's your crusade. If you're talking actual risk assessment, think how you would feel. Personal risk assessment.
Yes.
Then think about how you would feel and how you would address similar situations that do not have a moral component. You know, would you drive with this person? Would, you know, do you feel safe in their car? What do you make people, how do you handle making people buckle up?
Well,
if you're the driver.
We're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. I'm Callie Crossley here with Robin Abrams, misconduct columnist for the Boston Globe magazine. And we're talking about gun etiquette as regards conversation about guns in the home, personal risk assessment. How do you ask someone if they have a gun in the home? What should be your response? Is that appropriate? When is it intrusive? All of those kinds of questions. This, of course, is in the wake of the one-month anniversary of the Newtown, Connecticut killings. And all of our discussion most recently here on this show and the whole nation as a whole talking about gun violence. If we're not talking about gun control, we're certainly talking about gun violence. So you have another question. Do you have the right to ask a friend or family member to not carry a gun in their home when you're visiting? So, I mean, you know, you're there and you say, look, I'm coming, but can you just like not have the gun out when I'm there? Is that your right to do? It's their
Again,
home.
You have, as it were, the privilege, but not the right. Mm-hmm. If it's a matter of, would you please put the gun away? Because you can't, it would be like going to the home of a gay couple and saying, I'm sorry, I think what you're doing is against the Lord. Would you please not kiss while I'm here? Mm. It's their home. Mm-hmm. However, you can always ask somebody if there's something that makes you particularly nervous. You know, I didn't grow up around guns. I don't really know how they work. It scares me. Can you put that away, please? It's more or less a similar thing as I'm afraid of dogs.
So let's do the reverse and say,
believe me, if somebody like was ever, I'm afraid of dogs, the dog would go in this crate.
Right.
If same with a gun, because I'm a good host.
Right. Let's do the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
You have the right to carry a concealed weapon, and you're coming to my home. I have the right to?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
everybody.
Your home. Yeah, yeah.
You
I'm install a metal detector.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you
my mother actually makes you take off all your technology. Like it's like the cell phones. You know, they'll just be a whole basket. You know, she practically has a metal detector. It's like you're coming to my house. You're visiting me. You're not talking on your cell phone. You're not texting. Certainly not cleaning your gun.
So it's sort of like that. Yeah, it's sort of like taking off your shoes in some people's homes.
Oh, no, don't get me started on that one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying. Sex and the City dealt with that, too.
You will take my shoes when you pry my cold, dead toes from them. My God,
right.
I will surrender.
Well, it is very, very, what makes this interesting, we've talked about right and privilege here and mm-hmm. who can ask the questions and when's it intrusive in your house and personal mm-hmm. risk and all of that. Here's the bottom line. Almost every time you're here, most people are just too chicken to ask the most basic question or to, no, I'm serious, or to say, you know, I remember sitting in the cab getting angry because a guy's on the phone and I mm-hmm. finally said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is my life.
Right.
Get off the phone.
Right. Right.
But I remember thinking about it before I instantly responded. So now we're mm-hmm. talking about elevating that to something on a whole other plane.
Right. Right. And it is tricky. It's always difficult to know what to do in the moment. I had a very odd question in the column about a much smaller matter where a hostess at a fancy party was asking her guests, apparently quite firmly, to turn over their coats to be taken away and also their handbags.
Mm.
And, you know, realizing that you're not expected that that's an odd request. What do you say in the moment? How do you distract the person, save face for them, save face for you? It's a kind of social ninja maneuver. And that's why I think it's important to kind of think these things through a little bit. And particularly when you have what I think we're finding out now is there's sort of, oh, there's gun people among us. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, who owns a gun? And in fact, a friend of mine on Facebook mentioned that he said, oh, I'm always carrying a gun.
Mm.
Who
wow.
knew?
Right.
I had no idea.
Don from Sturbridge, you're on Boston Public Radio, 89.7. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I kind of got halfway into your talk show here, and I'm curious because I am an avid gun person. I do have guns in my home. And how that question would even be arise that somebody would ask me, do you have guns in your home? I mean, most people know me enough to know that I am an avid gun person, and I do have them locked away. And my, of course, bullets are put away in a place, and I'm curious why that question would even come up.
I think it would be extremely weird for it to come up in the case of adults. If somebody was, if I were a parent and were sending my kid to go to a friend, to go to the home of a friend, I would probably ask. I can't
really?
Imagine what, yeah, absolutely. Lots of parents would.
And I have to say, Don, that after Newtown, and I mentioned this at the top of this conversation, one of the neighbors of Adam Lanza, the shooter, was very surprised that there were guns in the home very close to her. Now, she didn't take a position one way or the other, but except to say she was surprised, and I think she was feeling she would have liked to have known. So I think there's this conversation mm-hmm. is going to be had in more places, and I actually think it's going to be had between adults and not just between adults with children.
I think we might be moving toward more of a social norm where the assumption is that it's the responsibility is on gun owners to disclose.
Right.
That we're not that becomes a thing that we're assuming. It's not going to happen overnight. Social change never
right.
does.
Jonathan from Everett. Thank you very much, Don, for the call. Jonathan from Everett, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio, 89.7.
Hi, it's nice to talk on your show. What I have to say is I see no problem with asking somebody if you're going to trust them with your kids if they carry a firearm. What my deal is if you trust somebody with your kids and they carry a firearm, you shouldn't feel that your kids are in any particular extra danger. If anything, you should realize that they have this for the safety of probably their children, and they would probably use it for the safety of your child if the situation ever occurred where they needed to use it in that way. And, I mean, the biggest thing to remember is in 2005, the Supreme Court ruled that police have no right to protect people. It was a Supreme Court ruling on that.
Yeah, the important thing is actually that parents have the right to determine their own risk levels for their own children. And if I decide that I don't want my child with somebody who is carrying a gun, then that kid's not going to be with somebody who's carrying a gun.
I agree with that 100%. If it's your child, whatever you feel safe with your child being around is what your child should be around. But I feel if you feel safe with somebody and they carry a gun, the fact that they carry a gun shouldn't take away from you feeling safe around that person. You understand what I mean?
Yes. I think Jonathan, and thank you so much for the call. The point is that we're probably going to have more conversation with people about these issues.
And I think what Jonathan said really gets at where a lot of gun owners feel defensive is it's this kind of, you know, I'm not comfortable around loaded guns. You don't trust me to carry a gun. And it's immediately personalized. And the rather hilarious thing is that, as I mentioned, a friend of mine, when I was discussing this on Facebook with my friends, who the same friend of mine who revealed that he is almost always carrying a gun, his autocorrect changed about five words in he texted me from his cell phone, and his autocorrect changed about five words. And I responded to him, I hope you have better control over your gun than you do over your cell phone. Because it's like, wow, dude, your smartphone just massively malfunctioned there. Technology is unreliable. Guns are technology. Humans plus technology are unreliable. It's not a statement about any individual.
Well, Robin Abrams, misconduct columnist for the Boston Globe. You can read your column, which addresses this issue, in this Sunday's Boston Globe magazine, where there will be lots of other folks weighing in on these very questions. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kelly.
And thank you for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. You can find us on the web at wgbhnews.org/BPR. I'm Callie Crossley. Have a great afternoon.